Do you guys hear anything right now? I can't tell you if you weren't here last night, but that song is infinitely more rocking this morning than it was last night. Even though last night it was like seriously hardcore, but they said, you know what, we need to add some like bass melting guitar solos in there. And I was like, okay, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, I have to say, last night, as I was sitting in the front row waiting to go up, and they showed the birthday present for Jesus, I had no idea what was coming. And I had the same response that you guys did, like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, it was so exciting. And I remember thinking that I was all ready to come up and talk about how this Christmas, I really want that sense of awe, but it seems to evade me. And I'm just thinking, you know what? That's it. I just felt this sense of awe because there is nothing but the work of God that could make this little church give $65,000 to the work that God wants to do. So basically, that's my message. You guys have a great week, and I will see you next week. Yeah, even better. Hey, now. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Frances, and I'm still the little pastor, or whatever Dwayne said. I don't know. I didn't hear. Pastor buddy. There you go. I'm excited to be here because I love Christmas time. No joke, Christmas is like my time of the year. And it makes perfect sense if you know me because I love tacky things. I love irritating music and I love to overeat. So Christmas is like made for me. And I love to find ways to torture my family at Christmas time. Like, how can we make it more magical? You know, I need to have a pig dressed up like an elf that lights up on my front lawn. I need to have more lights. This is ridiculous. Well, especially now that I have a son, I've been thinking, like, how can I make Christmas special? How can I make Christmas a special time? Because I want him to look back and remember what it was like at Christmas time and to think of it as a special time. So I have some friends that every year we would go and see Christmas in the Park. And this year there was something else that came up. There was another light show that you can go to where you'd walk through the lights and they had food trucks. And I thought, you know, why don't we do this instead of Christmas in the Park? This seems like it's going to be a great idea, which are kind of famous last words, right? This seems like a great idea. So we made plans to do that last week. And we got there right on time, and you're supposed to park in this parking lot and take a shuttle over to the park where they had all the lights set up, and then you walk through the park. And I thought, okay, it's 5 to 9. We'll get there at 5 and then, you know, get home in time for Thomas to take a bath and go to bed. Well, we got there at 5, and I noticed a giant line to get on the shuttle to the park. And I was like, well, this just can't happen. We need to get that Christmas cheer going right now. Because I'm kind of a control freak, I confess. So I'm like, you know what? We just need to walk down the street. It's only a block that's 2.5 miles long. I can do this. So we start walking down the street, and this was not a very well thought out plan, to say the very least, because we get about 50 yards down the street and the sidewalk ends. And this street that we have to walk down, I've driven down it a million times, but somehow I forgot that there's no sidewalk, but I remembered that it's curvy and there's no lights. So there are cars whizzing past us as it's getting darker and darker and darker. And we're walking down the street and we're not prepared to be walking down a street with no lights and no sidewalk and no shoulder. And there's all this debris in the street from the rainstorms that had happened that week. So we're walking and I'm walking as fast as my little legs will take me. And I'm walking so fast that my husband, whose legs are like 2 feet longer than mine, is like, can we slow down and stop? And all I'm thinking, I literally said this, I do not want to die tonight. So because all I could think is there's going to be a news story about us. Like, they just wanted to see the Christmas lights and they got hit by a car. So we are booking it down the street, and we finally get to where the sidewalk comes back, and we're just about to the park. And I see this group of people as we turn the corner, and I'm so excited because I'm thinking we're almost there. It's almost time for Christmas cheer. And we get to the group of people, and I realize that halfway up the block, it's actually a line. It's not a group of people moving towards the park. It's a group of people standing. And I thought, okay, great. And I'm like, well, I've walked 2.5 miles and I'm too tired to walk back. So we're waiting in line. So we waited in line for over an hour. And we were meeting friends, and they actually stopped. They got there about 20 minutes after we did. They got on the tram and got into the park before we did. So to add insult to injury. But we went in, and it was actually like the lights were nice, I have to admit. We had fun, and I mean, but by the end of the night, I was thinking about it. You know, I really wanted magical Christmas. I really wanted awe. And I thought, well, I saw a snowman warming himself by a fire. That was kind of interesting. But there was no awe. There was none of that, you know, that something that was so special that, you know, this is Christmas memories. I mean, I took a picture because I was like, this is Christmas memories. I'm going to remember this forever, and I'm going to make my son remember this forever, and we're going to talk about how special it was. And I thought, okay. Well, I got the picture, I went, but it didn't have that awe. And I started thinking about Christmas time and just how the reason there are crowds of people when you go to something like that is because they want that awe too. They want that magical Christmas for them, for their kids, they want the Christmas that reminds us of the songs that we hear. You know, we want chestnuts roasting by an open fire. We want, you know, warm fires and cuddly and our families to be perfect, right? And Christmas is one of those times where we feel like this is possible. But see, as I thought about it, you know, it just, a lot of those things just leave me feeling a lack of awe. In fact, when I think back to that night where we went to the park and I really wanted a magical Christmas, it was more of a Christmas. Anyone can relate to that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got that one from Paul. Just kidding. It wasn't from Paul, but y'all believe it, right? So I was thinking about all the things that we do to make Christmas special. We put up decorations, we send out cards, we listen to music, and even Christmas presents. But a lot of times, you know, Christmas presents, we want that perfect Christmas present that will inspire awe, but it's a little bit more awful than awe-filled. Anyone ever received an awful present? Well, we were talking to some friends yesterday. I was talking to some friends about what's the worst present you received. And I heard a couple stories that I thought were amazingly awful. One was a friend that her coworker was 14 years old at the time. He was a 14-year-old boy. And his grandmother was notoriously bad at getting him gifts. And she decided that she was going to get him a present when he was 14 years old. Remember, 14-year-old. Think of yourself at 14 and just, it's an awkward age, right? And you're embarrassed about everything at that age. Well, what she gave him this present and he opens it up. And he immediately puts the paper back down because he's mortified. He doesn't want anybody to know what she gave him. And then, his mom says, what did you get, honey? And then he has to open it in front of everybody. And remember, your 14-year-old self, embarrassed by everything, he opens it up, and it is a Ken doll. And his grandmother says, they make them for boys now, too. Isn't that exciting, honey? And this poor guy is embarrassed because his whole family is seeing this unfold. Another one that I thought was hilarious was a husband gave his wife a DVD. And that's not bad. I mean, if I give my husband a DVD for Christmas, it is his best day ever. Like, he is super excited about it. Amazon wish list all the way, DVD. If it has a superhero in it, even better. Well, this husband gave his wife a DVD, which isn't a bad gift, but there were two problems with it. One, they didn't have a DVD player, and two, it was a rental. Worst gift. So, you know, I had some extra room on the outline today, and so if you guys are like me, and maybe you don't know how to receive an awful gift well, I have a couple things that you can just write down and say just in case, right? Well, a couple things. One thing you can say is, gosh, I hope I never lose this. We're always losing things around here. Another thing, and this sounds really spiritual, so it's really awesome, is it's great, but I'm worried about the envy it might create. Another thing, and this one also sounds really spiritual, so you might want to write it down, is just my luck to get this on the very Christmas I promised to give all my presents to charity. And my favorite, frankly, I don't deserve this. That's my favorite right there. Because we're trying to cultivate awe. We're trying to create it. But I want you to, if you guys are taking notes since you got your outline out, you're writing down bad things or things you can say for awful gifts. I want to talk about awe, what awe actually is. And it's actually this long definition. So I just want to give you three words. Awe is an overwhelming response. And you guys know what we're talking about, right? It's one of those things where you just see something that's so grand or so beautiful or so wonderful or so sacred or so sublime that it takes you out of yourself, that you just, you can't think of anything else but that. Your mouth open, slack-jawed awe. You guys know what I'm talking about. So what's the sound of awe? Really? That's what you guys say? Aw, when you hear aw? The sound of awe is silence. Now, if you're like me, maybe you're like, I'm almost never silent. But, you know, it's when you find yourself and you have nothing to say because there's nothing you can add to this moment. And if you can eke out a word, it's like, wow. Or if you're Keanu Reeves, it's, whoa, right? Like, there's no words that you have for this moment because you just want to be in that moment. And when I think about the song that we just heard, Do You Hear What I Hear? This Christmas season, I think I've been trying harder than ever to have that sense of awe. And when I hear that question, do you hear what I hear? The answer is no. I want to, but I'm not hearing it. I'm hearing the sound of crowds everywhere. I'm hearing the sound of people arguing over their place in line. True story this week. I'm hearing the sound of, I want, give me. I'm hearing the sound of my bills piling up. I mean, it's a piece of paper. How can it be so loud, right? But that's what we hear sometimes, and we want that awe. We want to hear what Christmas is really about. So as I prayed about it this year, as I thought about this message and the sound of awe, I kept feeling the Holy Spirit tell me the same thing over and over again. Read it again. Read it again. And I've been around church for a long time, so I've heard the Christmas story many times. I've been through seminary, I've studied the Christmas story. But I kept hearing God say, read it again. And so tonight, I want to invite you with me to read it again. Today, I don't know what time of day it is. Today, I want to invite you guys to read it with me again. Because no matter where you're at, I know that God has something in this story for you today, this very moment. So I'd like to pray before we open up this account of the first Christmas. And let's see what God has in store for us. Would you guys pray with me? God, I pray for fresh eyes. I want to see what you want to show us. God, I pray for fresh ears. I want to hear what you want us to hear. God, I pray that we would know what it is you want us to know today. And God, I pray that we would listen and that we would have a sense of expectation of who you are, that you are a living God, that right now in this very moment, that you're present and that you care very deeply about each one of us in this room. And I pray that this Christmas story would inspire us with awe. Thank you, Jesus, for you coming to earth and your birth. And I pray that that we wouldn't miss the significance of that today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have on your outline all the verses that we're going to be looking at today, if you'd like to follow along. Let's jump right in. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And I want to stop here because a lot of times when people tell the story, they talk about how shepherds are misfits or bad people. But actually, the Bible and the Old Testament, they have great views about shepherds. Shepherds are actually seen in a positive light. So a lot of the things that people say, we're not really sure that that's true. But what we are sure of is these are ordinary, everyday people. This story starts with people who are just regular old shepherds staying in the fields or at work on Christmas. Anyone have to work on Christmas? That's no fun. So these are just regular old people. And then the story begins. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. And I also like to stop here and point out that I think terrified is an appropriate response. I mean, anyone, a camper here, like, can you imagine just like all of a sudden you're at night around a fire and all of a sudden the lights turn on and you're outside, but there's no lights to turn on. Well, just this week during our giant storm, congratulations, everyone, you survived it. I was going out on a date with my husband, and so we're leaving at night, and I have an armful of Christmas cards, my first armful of Christmas cards, and I'm almost to the car, dodging raindrops, because I'm very stealthy, and all of a sudden, it was like the lights had turned on. And my first immediate reaction was to turn around and thank my husband for turning the lights on. But then I realized we live in the mountains. There's no lights. There's no street lights. That is not possible. So then I look up thinking I'm going to see lightning, right? But it stayed lit up. And then I hear the sound of electricity crackling. And I'm looking at the sky in all its shades of blue and orange thinking, oh, that's not good. And then it happens again, like it goes off, then it turns back on. And I thought, oh, like that's terrifying, isn't it? It's not supposed to happen, but that's exactly what happened. And as I thought about this story, I thought that's exactly what's happening for these shepherds. All of a sudden, the sky lights up and they're terrified because that's the natural response. And I also want to point out that when you read the Bible of stories of angels, people often think of angels as sweet and angelic. Like we even have that word. But almost the first thing inevitably that an angel says to someone when they appear is exactly what the angel says. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. Because it's terrifying. It's something that they've never seen before. And the angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. So here's where we lean in, because he's about to share this good news, but he has to start by saying, you know what, this is so important, like lean in, listen. So if you're taking notes, I want you to underline this next verse. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This one line is the sentence. This is the good news that brings great joy. Because what he's saying is all of the things that Dwayne talked about, that hope, the hundreds of years of waiting, has now come true, has come to pass this very night. And he's saying it a bunch of different ways. He's saying the Savior, the one who's going to save you, the Messiah, which in Greek is Christ, which means anointed one. In Hebrew, it's Messiah, which means anointed one, all of which means king. King, the king has come, the new king, the one you've been waiting for. The Lord, God himself has come. And he's been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, because people in Israel were waiting for someone who is in David's line to be born. So this great news is that the one you have been waiting for is here. Today is the day that a new era has begun, a new life. And you will recognize it by this sign, it continues. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Now if you guys are singing that song and you've always wondered what does Gloria in Excelsis Deo mean? Glory to God in the highest heaven. I mean, I bet you guys didn't know you were going to learn Latin when you came to church today. You can bust that out if you're ever on Jeopardy and you have that question. Glory to God in the highest. That's what it means. And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, I love this passage, but when I read it, there are some times when I read the Bible and I just feel like, I wish I were there. I wish that I could see this because it feels too amazing, too incredible for me to understand just by imagining it. And as I thought about this passage and what might this have looked like, I actually thought about this video that you guys are about to see. Check it out.
Thank you.
my favorite things that has cropped up in the past few years are these Christmas flash mobs. I mean, these people, this was just a year ago today. They're sitting and they're eating lunch, they're having regular conversations, and all of a sudden there's this incredible sound, this incredible sight around them. And you saw the looks on their faces, like they're just watching. They stop whatever it is they're doing and focus all of their attention on what's going on around them because they can't help it. And if they can move, the only thing they do is draw closer to get a better view. Or they get out their cameras and their iPhones and their iPads and they take pictures like no one is going to believe this. And that's exactly what happens. After, do you hear what I hear? The shepherds heard good news from God. And the good news is what brought awe. It wasn't because it was a great concert. It was because the good news was the news that they had been waiting for. And the angels' praise was as a result of that good news. Glory to God in the highest heaven because they heard the good news. Glory is not only just something that's incredible and praiseworthy, but it also has this connotation of shining a light on something that is incredible or praiseworthy. Because as a result of the good news that the Savior had come, God would be praised. People would understand why we should praise God. And as a result of that, there would be peace to people on earth. And that doesn't mean no war or fighting, but what it means is that wholeness, that sense of peace with God, that thing that evades us forever without Jesus. That's what was promised through this good news that had come. So now let's see what the shepherds do. Do you know what I know? When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Underline that, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. You might say they were in awe because they heard it and they understood what it meant. And Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Mary was in awe, just absorbing it, taking it all in. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, because it was just as the angel had told them. Underline that last sentence. It was just as the angel had told them. See, there was this, like, God had shown up and they heard this incredible good news that will bring great joy. And they said, "We have to see this. We have to see this firsthand." Because what they knew is that God would follow through. And as I read the Christmas story again and just said, "God, show me what is in this story today," there's a sense of expectation that God was going to show up. And it was throughout all of the story, the parts of the story that we don't even necessarily tell at Christmas. Mary expected that what God did would be incredible. Zechariah expected that God would make his wife be able to have a child, even though she'd never been able to have a child. And that this child would be a prophet who would set the way, or who would pave the way for Jesus. And that was John the Baptist. And then after Jesus is born and he's dedicated in the temple, you see Simeon, who's in the temple, who's been waiting for this Messiah. And he gets a front row seat because he had this expectation that God would follow through. You see, Anna, who'd been waiting for decades, and she recognized him immediately because she knew that God would follow through. So there's this picture that God is going to follow through. Do you know what I know? That God is going to show up. So what does this look like for us today? I mean, how do we cultivate awe? How do we because you can't manufacture it. I mean, I tried last night. I sat here for a while and I got nothing. No awe. So how do we cultivate awe? The last part of the song that we heard, listen to what I say. Listen is the first part of it. Because, as I said, awe is an overwhelming response. The way that we feel awe is it's something that is awe-inspiring, gives us that sense of awe. So listen. And you know what's beautiful about this time of year? It is easy to hear the message of Christmas, right? I mean, how many of you guys have seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special? You guys heard that. If you have seen that, you've heard the passage that I read today. And how many of you guys have heard Christmas music in a store? Yeah, anybody? Really? Have you not been in a store? How many of you guys have gotten a Christmas card that said something on it about the Christmas story? I mean, there are a million ways. And what I realized as I was reading the Christmas story is that God is not hiding. I was amazed as I read the story because he told all kinds of people in all different kinds of ways that would tell them that he was there, that the Savior had been born. He told Zechariah in the temple because he was a priest. He told the Magi through the stars because they were kind of like astrologers who were looking at the stars for a sign. He told the shepherds while they were at work because that's what they did. He had all kinds of ways to tell all kinds of people this news because he wanted them to get it. So I want to challenge you guys to choose a way that you will intentionally tune your ear to hear this message, to create a trigger for yourself that will remind you of something in the story. I mean, maybe it's twinkling lights and you'll think about the light coming into this world like Dwayne talked about last week. Every time you see that, you'll think about it. Or maybe it's every time you see an angel on top of a tree, you'll think about Dwayne's joke from last week, which you need to listen to online if you haven't. Or you can think about instead the angel appearing before the shepherds and bringing good news that will bring great joy. Or maybe if you want something that's even sillier, you guys know what the most popular Christmas song of all time is? All I want for Christmas is you. All I want for Christmas is you. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves because you were part of that. But that, seriously, that is the most played, most sold Christmas song of all time. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You. This is almost too cheesy, but I'm going to say it, and you guys, forgive me in advance. But what if every time you heard that song, All I Want for Christmas is You, you thought of it as Jesus saying, All I want for Christmas is you. That's why I came, because all I wanted was your heart. All I wanted was to make your relationship with God right through my death and resurrection. I mean, it sounds so silly, but this morning I was driving here and I heard All I Want for Christmas is You on the radio. I turned it up and I looked at my husband because he was like, don't say that. Last night he told me, don't say that. And I turned it up and I looked at him and I thought of it. It's silly, but it was one of those things that even as I said it, I said, oh. Or maybe it's just you choose a Christmas song that you really like. And like my husband's favorite Christmas song is Joy to the World. Because he's like, it's not a Christmas song. It's actually about Jesus coming back. So maybe every time you hear Joy to the World, you think of the fact that this story isn't over. This isn't it. I have something to look forward to that is more incredible, more special. That new era that started on Christmas is not over yet. And there is a new era coming that's even better than I could ever imagine. So you listen to the good news. I challenge you to choose a way to do that. And the second part is to receive the good news if you're taking notes. It's not just that you hear it, but that you recognize that this good news isn't for shepherds 2,000 years ago, but it's for you today. I mean, there are people in this room that have never heard this good news, and I want to tell you, this is for you. Jesus was born a baby in a manger. He was born because he wanted you. He wanted to make your relationship with God right. He wanted to live a perfect, sinless life, to die a death on the cross so that we would no longer be trapped by death. that we would no longer be condemned to death because of what the things that we couldn't make right on our own. And through him, we can have eternal life. That message is for you. Will you receive that? And some of us have heard this message 1,000 times. We've been in church for a while. Like I said, I've been in church for a long time. I went through seminary. I studied the Bible. And I think, how is this message for me? Like, that was good news, but what's the good news today? And as I realized, like, you know what? This is still good news. Because there are times where I still need to know that the Savior was born. The Savior who can save me even today from my hurts and habits and hangups and the things that I feel like I'm never going to get away from. He can save me. He is forgiving me. He is active in my life. Or maybe I had a crazy year. Anyone else here have a crazy year? And just that reminder that the Messiah was born, the King. God is still in control. God is here and he's living and active. Wow. And maybe you just need to know that he's still Lord. He's still in your life. He is still directing your steps. Maybe you feel like, I'm not going anywhere. This message is still for you. Because no matter how much we know about God, I realized this year that I know a drop in the ocean. I do not know as much as I want to. And the more that I know, the more incredible and the more awe-inspiring it is. So the last part of it is you listen to and receive the good news with expectation. The expectation that God wants to show up, that God wants to show you who he is, that he wants you to know more about him. Like I said, he's not hiding in the Christmas story. He wants everybody to know, and I know for sure that he wants every one of us, no matter where we are on our spiritual journey, to know who he is. I realized something about myself this year, that I have this kind of fatalistic view sometimes about spirituality, like God's going to do what he's going to do. I mean, I trust him and I know it's going to work out and everything, but I realized that I don't pray enough. And so this year and the past few years, I've chosen a word or a phrase that would kind of be the center of my prayers that I would always come back to when I was praying. And my phrase this year was show me, because I wanted God to show me even more who he was. I wanted him to show up in ways that I didn't expect. And I realized the more that I prayed this prayer, the more that he did amazing, awesome things in the truest sense of the word. So I challenge you, no matter where you're at in your spiritual life, to make that your prayer. Maybe that's your prayer for 2015. Show me. And have the expectation that God is going to follow through. God is going to show up. You are going to see things and know things that are way beyond what you ever thought would happen. And maybe you have no idea about spiritual life and you're just like, hey, I'm here because I heard there was free cookies. Well, I'm glad you got your cookie. But you can make this your prayer too, because God does not want to be a secret in your life. And I was reminded of this morning when I was looking through Reader's Digest, which was a gift that I received at Christmas that I love. And I read this story. It said, coming from a destitute family, my brother and I were used to having very slim Christmases. We expected nothing more than what we got one Christmas morning as we scooped wrapping paper from the floor. Grab the blanket hanging over there and wrap it around your mother when she comes in here and tell her how much you love her. My father whispered deviously to us, grabbing the blanket and pouncing on our mother. We noticed two upright guitars that the blanket had been draped across. Those guitars became the sole form of expression all throughout our growing up years and up into this day. A lot of times we think, I know, like, the incredible gift that God has given me. But like God was telling me, read it again. There is something more for every single one of us. Something more that God wants to show you. And this verse that's the last thing printed on your outline is the Christmas story. because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. That's the Christmas story. Wow. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, wow. I am in awe of the work that you have done and continue to do in my life, in the lives of people around me, and in this world. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would be inspired with awe because of your continuing work. God, I pray that you would show us new things in the Christmas story. You'd show us new things all around us, and that we would be full of hope and awe as we see you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.